Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in there?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good. I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
What a beautiful day. What a beautiful day. And thank you for joining me. It is Monday and it is June 22nd, 2020. And a lot happened over the weekend. And I want to share things with you. This is your stimulus show. I'm Cheryl Smith. Thanks for tuning in. And I hope you can hear me good. Yes. And we're on Blog Talk Radio and we're also on Facebook Live. And this is the show to tell you about what's going on, to share information with you, and hopefully for us to grow together. We're going to be on for a hard hour today. And you can call me at 646-200-0459. And again, that number is 646-200-0459. And guess what? So much is happening. I have to tell you, there's a webinar. There's actually a webinar tonight, Monday Night Politics, and you may know the Dallas Examiner has Monday Night Politics, and on this Monday Night Politics, guess what? It's going to be State Senator Royce West and his opponent, MJ Hager, and they're going for the Senate, U.S. Senate, and they would like to challenge and defeat John Cornyn. And you may remember John Cornyn from years ago because Lon Kirk, who was mayor of Dallas, ran against him. And we had hoped that he would win, and he didn't. But guess what? Now we have an opportunity to move to another level and to do some things. It's going to be really exciting. I mean, this was exciting. We can just watching how Tulsa showed up and showed out. Did you see it? Did you see it? Were you there? I talked to a number of people in Tulsa, and they were not happy. They were not happy, and I understand why. And a good friend of mine who is a Republican, yes, I've known her over 30 years. In fact, her husband is my eye doctor. She voted for Trump, and she says she's not voting for him again, and there are other Republicans. Now, you may have your thoughts about it, and, you know, like Marcus Garvey said, everyone is entitled to their own opinion, and I let them have it. Sometimes I just tell you I have to really get off of social media because to let people have their own opinion, I just can't be a part of the game. Things. I'm trying to get this situated straight. What you hear, what you see in the back, that's my grandbaby, and that's Commissioner John Wiley Price, and they were part of an advertising campaign with me and with DART, our mass transit system, which interestingly they could find trade opportunities, but now we're trying to say, okay, how about some cash opportunities? And that's what we have to do. We have to call people out and say, hey, you need to be taking care of business. And I'm trying to get this thing saved to my page on Facebook, and it's taking a little time. But let me tell you, the numbers are raising with COVID-19, and we have to be very mindful of what's going on, and we need to have some of these around. Yes, you do. And you need to take care of yourself. You need, you know, you love somebody. You know, I want to see people. I want to hug them. I saw my sister, Cassandra, and I hadn't seen her in 6 or 7 months. And you know, this is my sister. This is my blood. So I know how people are feeling. I just wanted to hold her. And trying to do social distancing, trying to be mindful of going on, but also realizing that I want to be around. I want to be around and I want to see her. And she came because she wanted to say, get some stuff to me, and then she wanted to share a special day with me. And I want to thank all those who realized it was a special day. Yes, Friday was Juneteenth. Did you realize that? And this past week was actually 5 years since we commemorated the life of Joyce Ann Brown. Now, I thought I had a picture of her around here, but for those who don't know Joyce Ann Brown, she spent 9 years, 5 months, and 24 days in prison for a crime she did not commit. She got out, but she said when she was in prison, she said, when I get out, I'm going to do everything I can to help those like me. And that's what she did until she took her last breath. She was helping those who had been wrongfully convicted, incarcerated. And guess what? People who got out after her got thousands and thousands of dollars for each year, but she didn't. You know, our system is not right, and lots of times women do suffer because of it. And thinking about Joyce Ann this past weekend, it was also the anniversary of the fifth anniversary of Joyce Ann Brown's death and the sixth of my mom's. So I remember bringing her here. And she used to ask me all the time, is it hot in Texas? Is it hot? And I'd say, Mother, I don't know until I go outside, because we have air conditioning here. We don't have to worry about things because, you know, we're from Jersey. And in Jersey, a lot of buildings are not centrally air and heated. So, you know, you knew what it was like outside. I didn't know till I went outside. But I had my mother here for 18 months, and it was a joy to have her here. I'm going to see if somebody on my team could share this, because I'm having a hard time. Usually I mess with Eva Coleman. Eva Coleman is the vice president of the Dallas-Fort Worth Association of Black Journalists. And I call her for everything that has to do with technology. And I can get her to do everything except hack into my accounts and boost all my scores and everything. But anyway, I want to share information with you about what's going on with COVID-19, talk to you about money, because there still is money, but in the Small Business Administration. But even it's equally important, like Dick Gregory said that information was power. Well, just like that, money is important. The training that the Small Business Administration provides is equally important for you, because that can help you when you have no money and help you to get money. But also, I got a call from his mama, little Jeremiah's mom. Oh, something's mosquito bite or something. And she called because she wanted to know about Bolivon. And I've gotten a number of calls about the Bolathon, and we're talking about the Don't Believe the Hype Celebrity Bolathon. It's held every year. This would be year 26. And I'm going to talk to you about that. In fact, and I'll probably show you pictures from time to time. This is the picture. And trying to put it up. Okay, do I have it right there? And so I'm going to go. And so there we have Jackie, and there we have our former Heath Harris, there he is, Mr. Dick Gregory. And, okay, who is that? Okay, over there on the end, yeah, look at that, wrong end. That's Mrs. Martin over here. Let me get it right there, this person right here. That is a young Roland Martin. Look at him with all, I'm trying to get him here. There's Roland Martin. And this is one of the Bolathons. I don't know what year this is, but let me tell you about the Don't Believe the Hype Celebrity Bolathon. Years ago, I was on KKDA Radio, and I had people were calling in saying, Cheryl, can you do this? Cheryl, can you do that? And I really wanted to help. And I didn't have a lot of money, so I called together a lot of my friends. I called Chuck D, a public enemy, and said, hey, I want to have an event. Now, I'm from Jersey, and usually what we do is when it's like holidays or family get-togethers, there are things that we do. We go skating, bowling, and to the movies. So I said, I wanted something that, even though I didn't know how long it would go, I said, just in case, I don't want to be trying to skate at 75, even though they are 75-year-old skaters. So I chose bowling, and we started having the bowl-a-thon, and a number of people have come over the years, and we raised money for scholarships. Let me tell you, even just in every year in Senator West, those who have gone to the banquet have seen me give $1,000, I've been a few times, $1,500, scholarships to students in his intern and his leadership program, that Dr. Emmett J. Conrad's leadership program. Well, also the Dallas Fort Worth Association of Black Journalists, we were giving $1,500, $3,000. And at one time, at least 6,000 1 year in scholarships. We've paid for students to go to journalism conferences. We've done a lot of work with area youth. And I can remember one time someone calling in on the radio, and they said that there was a young man at a school here who honors graduate from high school. But guess what? He didn't have money for a suit to wear to graduation. We gave him the money to get a suit. Another time we had a young lady who had all the scholarship money to go to college, but guess what? She didn't have the money for an airline ticket to get to the school, and her family was not supportive of her because in their culture, being a journalist wasn't an honorable profession. Gosh, that sounds wild to say that, but it wasn't. And so they weren't paying nothing. You know, you go to school, you do it on your own. She's an award-winning journalist now. I think the last time I saw her, she had come back here and worked for a short stint and left. But we bought her airline ticket. We bought her airline ticket. So these are some of the things that we're doing. But guess what? The Celebrity Bowl-a-thon, we want to have something, and we're looking at having something later in the year. But right now, we're thinking about, we give scholarships in August. You know, folks are getting ready to go to school. We send folks to conferences. We pay for their registration and everything. So we need money now. So I'm on here with you, and I'm saying, please, can you help us? Will you help us? And I'm sharing this thing now. I finally got it. I'm asking you if you would please donate. We have several ways you can donate, and I can give you the number. I'm trying to be like somebody else, and I'm going to mess up the number because he has it in his memory. But we're a 501c3 organization, and there are several ways that you can give a contribution. And I'm going to give you the address to the Don't Believe the Hype Foundation here, 320 South R.L. Thornton Freeway. And you can give a donation that way, or you can give it through our Bank of America account. And we have some other ways set up as well. And I think the site is going live on Facebook also. And you participate that way. And, you know, I thought about it. I said, okay, why don't I ask everyone for $26? Because this would be year 26. That's easy. That's simple to do. And I'll do it that way. I'll ask for $26. But then I say, but some people may want to give more. Some may want to give less. I've heard from a number of people that Sophia Johnson asked about it. I'm trying to think of your ABI is your company, Sophia. And she asked about what we have in the bowls on because she wanted to contribute. I heard from Comerica Bank as well. And then, as always, they're always there for me. I can't say it enough. Evans Engraving. And they have wonderful trophies. I have one over there. And I have Angela Robinson's trophy because she was our celebrity female winner one year. And Angela Robinson is on the haves and the have-nots. And she's from Florida A&M. And she won one year. So I still have her trophy sitting up here, but it came from Evans Engraving. And I could name so many other sponsors who have been there, and as well as people who have been in the media. Before his death, when Mr. Gregory died in 2017, gosh, it's hard to believe it's been almost 3 years, we had 23 bowlers on. And if I remember correctly, he was at 20 of those 23. At one point, he went to jail, and he did not make it. Thank you, Marva. Good morning for putting that information up for the Don't Believe the Hype Foundation. But Mr. Gregory, one time he went to jail and he got there really, really late. And guess who stood in for him? None other than Shucky Ducky, Quack Quack. And then another time there was a big event going on. And he was so disappointed with me because I didn't get the date to his wife, Lil, in time. Because he made his business to be there. And another time, good morning, Gloria. Thanks for joining us. Another time, Mr. Gregory came because he didn't come for the bowl-a-thon, or either we had it late, if I remember correctly, in 2003, because I was running for office in the National Association of Black Journalists. And he, Miles J, a number of other folks, they came and they spent like the week for the bowl-a-thon with me, for the convention with me, campaigning for me. And but Mr. Gregory was there. I could name other people that have been there. Commissioner Price has been there, and so has little Jeremiah. And when Ron Kirk first became mayor, he was there, and he's been to subsequent years. I mentioned subsequent bowl-a-thons. I mentioned Senator Royce West, a number of folks who have been there. I'm getting texts while I'm on. And I have to tell them I'm on live to give me a minute. I may play a song. I'm saying to give me 5 minutes because I can't get the information to them right now. But I will get it to them. But again, thanks for tuning in, and I'm glad to have you here with me. I was talking about the Don't Believe the Hype Celebrity Bowl-a-thon, and I showed you the picture of Roland and his wife, and this was years ago because you see he has a lot of hair. And Mr. Dick Gregory, who was here. Chuck D of Public Enemy, and I heard from Public Enemy this weekend because, of course, it was my birthday, and Chuck D and Malik Farrakhan from Public Enemy came to the first bowl-a-thon with Mr. Gregory, and I had the blessing of Public Enemy. They said we could call it the Don't Believe the Hype Celebrity Bowl-a-thon, and a number of other people came. At that first one, I remember Roy Tarpley was there, and I did have a brochure. I was trying to get a lot of things together to show you because I'm asking for your support. It's easy for me. I thought about how do we do this because I don't like to ask for money, but I'm not asking for it for myself. I'm asking for it for young people, for folks who need scholarships, school costs. You know, let's help them. I'd rather ask you for money. I can ask you for money to put on their books, and I know people do that, and I do want you to help people who are incarcerated, because hopefully one day they will get out. And, you know, it's just a good thing to not treat them like animals when they're incarcerated, because how can you expect them to be another way than how you treat them? Which brings me to a point. I'm going to get back to the bowl-a-thon, because the other night I was watching TV as I looked for this brochure. I was watching TV and they showed Just Mercy. Very frustrating for me. I've seen it before, and wonderful job. I watched Black Panther, then I watched Just Mercy. And it's very frustrating because when you think about, especially in Dallas County, if you think about the number, double digits of men who have been, in the past 20 years, who have been released from prison. Imagine if those men had gotten the death penalty. Imagine if they had gotten the death penalty. And here you have a system that wrongfully incarcerates folks, and they know that they're doing it. So they're getting paid money, and some of them, their life will never be the same, because we know what happens in prison. We think we know, and I've had firsthand knowledge from people who have been through, because some people won't talk about what they've been through, and you hear that saying that they attribute to Vegas. I heard it started in prison, just like folks try to say that the sagging pants started in prison, and I can't vouch for that. I've heard it a number of times, but people shape their own narratives. But I actually heard from someone who was incarcerated that they said it's a variation. They say what happens in prison stays in prison, and another, my prison life was my prison life. And this was from someone, and I remember Joyce Ann Brown saying that someone whispered that to her because they whispered it to her because the person, when they got out of prison and Joyce saw them, they were with their family, and they didn't look anything like how they looked in prison, because in prison, they had taken on a different persona. They had actually was living a double life, and when they got out, they changed back. And that's a whole nother story and a whole nother show. But I tell you, I was watching Just Mercy late at night, wrongfully convicted, and actually reading the book simultaneously with the first time I was watching it. You just think about all the people. Are you one of those people that thinks that everyone who is in prison is guilty? Well, guess what is not the case? And that's been time and time again. And then since we've proved that there are people who are in prison who are not guilty, would you suffice it to say that people who were put to death, all of them were not guilty? Do you support the death penalty? I don't. Good morning, Betty. How are you? Is that Betty Boo? Hey, Betty. And hey, Tiffany. Tiffany Dale. Would love to see you. There are so many people I want to see. And that's the thing. You know, I'm talking about the don't believe the hype. No, Tiffany Dale, that's not you. Yes, it is. You don't think that everybody who's in prison is guilty. Thank you, because they aren't. And it's not just the ones. I know it's not a mama. No, most mama will say their sons or daughters didn't do it. And we especially protect our sons. We really, really do. Hey, Betty Boo. And hey, beautiful Gloria. And we just need to be really mindful of that. But I'm telling you about the Don't Believe the Hype Celebrity Bowl-a-thon. But I'll tell you, Tiffany says she watched Just Mercy. You cried. I wanted to fight somebody. There's a part of me. It was a great movie. You have people saying you're guilty just because of the way you look. And that's something, you know, we cannot support the death penalty in a system that is so unjust. And then, you know, that's the thing, you know, in that movie, there was somebody on death row, and is played by actually Ice Cube's son. And he said that they said he looked guilty. And just think about that. Someone say you look guilty. And that's why I say to all, anybody listening, and you tell folks that you know, if you are going to court, when things open back up again and you're going to court, and even if you're on virtual, don't go in there looking like what you're being accused of. Translation, you're on trial for robbery. When you walk in that courtroom and you're seated at the table with your attorney, when the prosecution gets up and starts talking about this person committed a crime and they had on a red hoodie, when the jurors look over there at you, you better not be sitting at that table with a red hoodie on. You better not. And that's one thing that we need to tell ourselves. And I encourage you all, if you will check out Amber Givens, Judge Amber Givens. She's been showing real court. If you go on Facebook Live and get Judge Amber Givens, and Judge Amber Givens, you can see some messed up attorneys. And I hear it all the time. Even, I mean, 20-something years ago when I worked for Dallas County, people would call and they would say, my attorney sucks. My attorney is this, my attorney is that. My attorney won't return the calls, and they're ill-prepared. You know, you hear all of those stories. Guess what? You will see that too. I saw it in court, and I was like, what the heck? I had this attorney complaining, or not really complaining, griping, moaning, whining. And I would have, and it could have been my attorney, because I would have gotten an assault charge if we were not in a virtual situation, because I probably would have stopped them, because this attorney, oh, I was sick and I had a doctor's appointment and my mama this and my auntie that, and then my grandpa died. And it's just like, I understand that, but you have a job to do. And in spite of all of that, you should have done it. But that's what you're seeing, is you don't get good attorneys. But then on the flip side, I've had some really good attorneys, because I've sat at that table before. And I've had to, did they have to look over there at me? No, I didn't. We didn't get there. We kind of worked it out. But I had to go and sit on a witness stand. And guess what? I didn't look like what they said. And the thing about it, if Cheryl Smith, and I've never been arrested for prostitution, but if I get arrested for prostitution, I guarantee you I'm going to go in that courtroom and I'm going to be sitting at that table and I'm going to be looking like I am going to church on Easter Sunday. Now, before you say anything, hold up, wait a minute. Let me put a perspective in it, because some of y'all go to church like y'all just left the club, but come as you are, I don't judge. But I do know that I'm not going to sit up there looking like I'm ready to ask you for $5 for whatever you want. So you think about that next time, you know, a relative or anybody, they're going down to whatever court and whatever building. Now, does that mean you're going to get off? No, it does not. But it's something, a lot has to be said about perception being reality. And you need for those jurors to look over there at you and say, nah, he couldn't have done that. But I saw someone on for capital murder. And Actually, this person was on for a capital murder, 3-4 counts, was actually on trial at the same time that Commissioner Price was on trial, and you all know that Commissioner Price, and this is a lesson for everyone. Everybody's on trial is not guilty, and everybody, you know, the commissioner had good attorneys. He had his stuff together. And then a lot has to be said about the case that the feds tried to have against him. But while he was in federal court, across downtown, there was this young man on trial for capital murder. Interestingly, both of them, Commissioner Price and the young man, they both wore suits, and they both wore suits, and I think the other guy had on a bow tie also. But while he was in prison, from the time he committed the crime till the time he went to court, he had gotten tattoos all on his face, and he had done some things in jail that called attention to him. He ended up getting life, but guess what? When I walked in the courtroom and I saw him, well, I sat in Commissioner Price's trial and I said, this is a bunch of crap. This is a waste of taxpayers' money. And even some of the jurors were laughing at the prosecution sometime because it was a travesty. But over here in this other court where the young guy was there, when I walked in there, 24-year-old guy on trial for murder, I looked at the judge first, Judge Jennifer Bennett. I looked over at the jurors, and I saw, if I remember correctly, 3 blacks. And I just sat down. He's not going to get the death penalty. I knew that these black people were not going to, all of those black people were not going to agree to give this person a death penalty. So they listened, and there was, of course, information they didn't hear that may have made them say, this boy needs to go down. But anyway, it ended up coming back with, I think it came back like maybe with 2 saying death penalty after he was found guilty. And then they came back, she sent them back, and they came back with 1 saying death penalty. And it wasn't going to change. It didn't seem like it was going to change. So he agreed to life without any getting out at all, or he couldn't appeal or anything. But just think about this young guy, 24 years old, and what happened. But you just think about also what's happening in the trial. But him sitting at that table, somebody coached him, because guess what? He was dressed better than some of the witnesses that came in to speak against him. Here are my glasses. And the guy walked in the courtroom like this. I put my hair back there. This is how he walked in, with his glasses on the back of his head and his pants bag and everything. And he was there to speak on the character of the people who were killed. And so you have them looking like what you would expect him to look like. So, you know, just be really mindful of that. And Tiffany says she watched Just Mercy, and it was on several times this week, past week, just like Black Panther was. And I love seeing the sisters. I would have been one of those sisters in red. I don't know if you could have done that, Tiffany. But watching that movie and putting, you need a reality. You need a reality check if you think that everyone's guilty. When you see someone on the side of the street, I'm guilty. And so you see, you know, 3 black guys sitting on this curb, and you wonder, what did they do now? Now I don't do that. Some of it says to me, okay, what are they messing with them for now? You know, because some things just don't have to happen. And if you think that it was an over-exaggeration in Just Mercy, that sometimes cops go wild and crazy, then you're sadly, you got another think coming. Because there are ones who have no problem calling you a boy or trying to break you down to the least common denominator. That's why I like how I think there was a police officer stopped the state's attorney in Florida and didn't know she was one. Then when he saw things, then, you know, they try to get subdued. Speaking of Florida, James Reed, who went to Florida A&M University, I talked about them earlier, it says Florida is now leading in COVID-19 cases. And they're saying Florida is like how New York was months ago. And there are those of you who say, are you surprised? No, when you look at what happens, when you open up beaches, when you look at what's happening around this country. And I just like to hear from someone, and this is your similar show. You can call me at 646-200-0459, and I'll bring you on. Or you can just type your question or comment in here. You just think about the number of beds. I was looking at some of the beds. And again, I want you to mark your calendars for tonight, Monday Night Politics. And I can register here, but there's a webinar presented by the Dallas Examiner. And I would say that it's going to be on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and you get it by email. But if you would go to Dallas Examiner's Facebook page, you should be able to find out information, and maybe someone will check it out here. But it's Monday Night Politics, and Demetria McCain is going to be the moderator. All right, the sister is bad. The sister, this is who needs to be doing it, because, you know, folks, you know, I could say stuff about moderators, and I'm going to say something. If Tiffany Dale is still on here, too. Tiffany, I feel for your profession, like I feel for journalists also, because you got people around here masquerading as publicists, PR professionals, and they are sorry. They are really sorry. They're really pathetic. Now, the Dallas-Fort Worth Association of Black Journalists, we have sessions and we try to tell people how to write press releases, how to get in the media, and you have people who are not trained, who are not pros like Tiffany, and they perpetrating a fraud, and you need to call them out. I got a call from an elected official last week, and they were good. Now, y'all know me if you know me. I don't bother nobody, because when you come for me, it's on. And so I told this person, I said, they said that I wasn't showing any love and papers and everything like that. And I'm like, what the heck? I said, your people aren't sending stuff to me. They are not sending stuff to me. So I don't have anything. I don't have anything. And I said, so then the person said, well, we have a list of Black media. And I said, okay. I said, so let's look at it this way. Over here, you got Black media, and you're sending stuff to them. And you have over here me, and you're not sending stuff to me. And I said, and I know between our daily e-blasts, our keeping our printing going strong, and distribution and everything over here. And our podcast, the work that we're doing, I said, and you're not sending us anything, so you need to fire your people. And so there are probably some people want to call me names, 646-200-0459 is the number to call, and you can find me anywhere, because I'm going to be firm on this. And I'll tell you, people in corporate America, elected officials, candidates running for office, people in nonprofit organizations, y'all got people doing your media and they don't know what the heck they're doing. And you have people that you say, okay, I'm going to hire this person because they worked at the TV station. Well, you better check it out. And you think if you get one little interview, you happy. But you don't know what they're saying. Let me tell you what they're saying back in the room when they get in there and they're looking at your presence. Not this one. This one, they send good stuff. This is not from an organization. This is from the Independent Free Papers of America. They actually sent me a stimulus check. So people are giving stimulus checks, and I'm going to talk back about that because I'd like for you to give one too. But they send a press release. You don't know because people aren't going to say anything to you. Typos all over the place. Misrepresentations. Poorly written press releases. Late press releases. Why are you going to send me a press release at 8:40 for a 12 o'clock press conference? I don't care if it's virtual or not. Did you just plan it at 11:40? All kind of stuff is happening. So, you know, everybody thinks they can do it. Tiffany says it's a low barrier to entry. Yeah. So the real professors end up having to clean up the mess of non-professors. You got it. You said it. And so I'm saying it. You need to check. And if you want to meet with me, I will meet with you in my position as president of the Dallas-Fort Worth Association of Black Journalists. And I will tell you if this stuff is right. And not only am I the president of that organization, but I am also, I taught it. I was over the communications department at Paul Quinn College. I taught it. If it makes you feel good because you got to have, well, what's the PWI experience too? Taught at North Texas, taught at Texas Women's University, taught at Dallas County, which is now combined, and they also offer a four-year degree, and I'll talk about that later. But I just have to say something. I know PR professionals who are doing a darn good job. They went to school. This is what they wanted to be. And then just like I know everyone thinks, you know, they're a journalist. They think they can pick up one of these little books that I have here, and how appropriate, look what the book says. And everybody thinks they can do what I do. And so I'm kind of over it. I'm cool with it. But I just say, know what you're getting. But when people pay folks six figures to go out here and they're doing a poor job, you need to know it. And I'll tell you, but I'm not going to tell you if you don't ask me. I'm not going to call you up and say, look what your person sent me. No, but if you call me up like the elected official did last week and charge me up, then I'm going to tell you. I'm going to come out and tell you that folks aren't doing what they say that they are doing. You need to know this. But this is a stimulus show. I want to talk to you about giving back. Today I'm talking about, we're going to go hard. We have about 16 more minutes because I have to hop on and take care of some business. And when I was talking to you today, tell me about those beds that have gone up. And James Reed was talking about the cases of COVID-19 in Florida. I love being around people. And I love light, and so I get on the Zoom calls and everything, and I'm expecting one with my line sisters on Wednesday night because they want to say happy birthday to me, and so I'm looking forward to that. They're just going to be silly. Actually, it was so funny. They sent me they were saying happy birthday, and they were saying it the wrong day. And I just let them do it because then I got for them to realize they had made a mistake, so they got to do it back another day. So I got to hear them twice. So that was really good. So I'm looking forward to that. And folks wanted to get me seafood. COVID-19 is taking its toll on folks. But let me tell you, I've been blessed that I'm not alone. Because there are a lot of people who are alone. And I'm asking you to, again, to call people. To call folks and to say, hey, how you doing? How are you doing? And just talk to them for a few minutes. You don't have to do a lot of people. Just do one person a day. Call somebody. And I guarantee you, you will make them feel good. I've been going through my phone, and I'm still on the bees. I haven't gotten past the bees, but I called, and sometimes I call somebody and their numbers change. But whoever answers the phone, I tell them why I was calling, and I say, hey, I was just making a wellness call, and the person who had the number before, I guess they don't have it anymore, and I'm sorry for disturbing you. And I said, but how are you doing? How are you making it through all of this? And guess what? They like my conversation. They don't know me from a man on the moon. But, you know, I just talked to them a few minutes and I say, just please be safe. I don't know whether they're black or white, Latino, Native American, Asian. I don't know. I don't know if they are Republican, Democrat, Independent. I don't know. I don't know if they're LGBTQ. I don't know. But I do care. And I'm asking for us to care. I'm asking for us to think about stimulus. Some of you have received stimulus checks. And guess what? And you've treated them just like you do those darn income tax checks. You first thing you do is go buy a car. You don't even have a license. You don't have any insurance because you get in for places that don't make you do it or whatever, and you tote in a note and a car runs for a few weeks and then it's out. And I just say hold on to it because we don't know how long this is going to last, and you may need that money. One thing COVID-19 has shown us is that, you know, we would see, have you been ever said, joking with your friends, well, you know, I'm just a few paychecks away from being in that same position. Well, guess what? A lot more people are seeing that. And so there are things that you do to take advantage of this time that we have. And I'm asking you, don't be too proud to take advantage of them. I'm saying you can, Marva, I don't know what message you're trying to send me. You can apply for food stamps. Ain't no shame in it. Apply for food stamps. You can apply for unemployment. Apply for unemployment. You can apply for those stimulus programs and be here to see the other side, to talk about how you made it over. You can do all of that. And you can also, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the Don't Believe the Hype Celebrity Bowl-a-thon. Now, I'm looking on here, and I see several people. I know James Reed has not been here because he's in Florida, but James, the last project I worked on with James, I wrote a play back in 1981, and James was like the music director for that play. I wonder if he even remembers that because I can be pretty talented when I want to be, but James did that, but I see people who have been at the Betty Boo hasn't made it out here to that, but Marva's been at the Bowl-a-thon, and this would be year 26. We are trying to see what we're going to do. Looking for a card here. We're trying to see what we're going to do about the Bowl-a-thon this year, but we bring together people. We have support from the community, from the business community, from folks in the community, say everybody, all ages. Bowling is something, it is a family affair that anybody can do. And at this Bowl-a-thon, of course, we have trophies, thanks to Evans Engraving. And we have a lot of fun. Ken Bell has been our DJ for years. We've had a number of people to sing the Negro National Anthem, like Amaj and Miles J. Deborah Duncan, you may remember her from Good Morning Texas back in the day. She sang it one year. And Jonathan, we've had a number of people to sing. Belinda Stanton, who was in The Color Purple, the Broadway, sang also. And one person who didn't sing was me. And no, I didn't do that. Mr. Gregory would come. He would set up shop there. We've had a number of people who come who didn't sing. We've had Eric Benet to come there. We've had a number of comedians. my little sister, who people say we look alike, Takiyah Crystal Kamar. You may know her from In Living Color or That's So Raven. She would come also, and we had just so many people who would come. And I'm asking you this year, as we try to, and you're going to be hearing this for some time, you know, this will be year 26. You may say you want to donate $26, because we give scholarships, and we've given scholarships to a number of people. We paid for students to go to journalism conferences. We've just given a lot of money to help people to grow, and it's been through your help. And I'm asking you now. We're looking forward to. I said we're gonna have a bowl-a-thon. Honestly, we're gonna have a bowl-a-thon, and we're gonna invite folks. And we're hoping that we don't have to even charge it. You can just come out, have a good time, and participate. And that's what we're looking forward to in the future. But right now, we just want everybody to be healthy and to make it through this. So how can you donate? We have Don't Believe the Hype Foundation is a 501c3, and we have an account at Bank of America. And also, we have, Nina was working on a page, and it should be up today for sure, where you can go on Facebook Live and you can donate that way. Or you can send donations. And Marva has put the information up in here that Don't Believe the Hype Foundation is that you can mail it to 320 South R.L. Thornton, Freeway, Dallas, Texas, 75203. And, you know, excuse me, that cough is not, I just needed some water, which makes me think, because guess what I have here? I have to get up and show you this. Does this look familiar to anyone? I guess what, my grandbabies are over to the house, and they got a good lesson, because I told them stop picking up things and drinking things. And so they actually picked up a bottle of water that had some apple cider vinegar in it. And and it was in there, and it was really hilarious. I shouldn't laugh at that, should I? That's bad. Because like this is kind of diluted. But I have thank you. It is kind of diluted, but I have it wasn't this diluted when they got it. It looked more like this. And so they were 1 and 2. And that's what they get. And Ricky Clinton Wright, I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. I'm going to give it to you. And we, so they just turned it up. I bet they won't anymore. And see, he learned that lesson because he took a big swig when he was little. And, you know, I bet it cleaned his behind out a little bit. But he doesn't go grabbing grandma's stuff. But it's good for you. I have my apple cider vinegar. And I should not have laughed because I love my grandkids and I will give them anything. But you got to teach them a lesson. You gotta teach them a lesson. So they got a lesson from grandma that day, and it was hilarious. But the scholarship info on your website is going to be, there's a Facebook page for Don't Believe the Hype, and it should be up now. I know that Nina was working on it, and we're going to be sharing information with you every day. And for those people, and I'll tell you something, and it was really, really hurtful for me last year, because we didn't know. Last year was a rough year for me. It was the 5th anniversary of a lot of things happening. And so we did the bowl-a-thon, and there was someone who I gave a team to this person, for his nonprofit organization for at least 5-10 years. And I said, you know, I can't give you a team this year because we're trying to make sure we have money for scholarships. And I said, but I said, I tell you what, though. I said, I will give you a team. I will give you a team. And, you know, I said, I just asked for a donation from your team member. They didn't want to give a donation. And I said, oh, my God. And I just, it really is hurtful because there are so many people who will give and give and give. I remember, I just keep showing their picture so I could laugh at Roland there. But I just remember when Roland and Jackie came to the Bowlers. Not only did Jackie, I remember one year she came, she was a new Delta, and she just got all the Delta paraphernalia. And then another time she came and they just put down a nice check. And I wasn't expecting it or anything, but they knew what I was trying to do. They knew the money wasn't going. You know, you hear people having fundraisers and everything, and they talk about what they're giving away, but do you really see it? We have people there. The student Amber graduated from Paul Quinn College this year and was really disappointed but that she didn't have the graduation she wanted. But last August, she was getting a check from Don't Believe the Hype Foundation. We put the money there. And as we, you know, get ready to know, the beds have gone down a little bit. Beds occupied in Dallas, James, we is like 4,055. And the ICU beds are 683. So they've both gone up since last month this time. And we just have to be really mindful. We have to be really, really careful about what we're doing and how we're doing it. And that's really important. But Ricky Clinton, right, we're going to have the information out. We're going to be showing you pictures from last, over the years, some of the pictures of the Bowl-a-thon and sharing them with you as well. And with 25 years, we've done it. And we're going to do something this year for year 26. We're also going to have the Healthy Living Expo that we have every year on Martin Luther King Day. We're going to have all of those. But we have to get through this. We have to get through this, and we have to get through it together. And I'm trying to find, there's a picture of myself. Oh, here's a picture of, this is me and Chuck D. And this was, that was before the Bowl-a-thon started because, I'm going to say, yeah, Chuck and I were in our 20s, and that's my sorority sister, Kim Abernathy. And so, but we got to get through this, and we got to get through it together. I appreciate you for joining me today. I wish I could stay longer, but I got to go and make some things happen. When we talk to you tomorrow, we have Anthony on, and Anthony's going to be talking. Anthony was born in this century, so his perspective is kind of like mine. And so we're going to, like the sign says, you mess with the last generation. Yeah, you definitely have. And, gosh, I'm trying to get on. I should have had my stuff ready for my next meeting, but I still want you to know that we have a lot of work to do, and we're going to do it together. We're going to continue sharing information with you so that we can grow together and we can help one another. Just think about your stimulus. Are you receiving and are you giving? Because you need to do both. I'm Cheryl Smith. This has been your Stimulus Show, and guess what? I look forward to joining you again in the near future. Please take care. And take care of yourself and think of someone other than yourself. There are people out there. Call somebody right now. You got an hour because you planned on being on with me. I need you to call somebody. I need you to call them and see how they're doing and let them know that that you care about them, okay? And I was going to play some music, but got to go to the next one. So I'm just going to say, be good to someone. Be good to yourself first, and then be good to others. Thank you.
Everyone else in the family.
That helps
as we could get all the fathers of the world So really, if you stand up and be part of something, that would be great. Then we have mothers. Who are the right arm of the father. This function to do the cooking, raise the children,
in
the zone, and help the father to guide and direct. Then there's the son. The son, most sons are like imitators of their father. So we're back again to the father. He is guiding in the right way. The son is definitely going to be all right. Then we have the daughter. Watching her mother. Sooner or later, she's going to be a mother. She'll have her own sons and daughters.
So let's say you have a doctor.
It don't just stop there.
With the city council member. And you had as much time as you could to work on a story. The minimum that I can get out of this is maybe if there's a lack of oversight for something that happened at the city council, or the city council member has sent the questionable emails or something like that, right? And the maximum is that there's a widespread corruption going on in the city council and that this person is getting kickbacks and there's like effects of there. And you, it's up to you to figure out how much of that information do I think I can get, how much of that information do I know I can get, and how much time do I think that will take. And that's an exercise that you'll get better at the more that you do that. But that shows, that'll take a little bit of video reporting, but it'll also show you how to do experience type of stories. And it's way more buy-in. So let's say again, you have this question, you have this idea that you want to solve, and now you want to go out and try to find some structure. Now we're going to talk to you in a few answers to a little bit about how to get
when I filed this recently, they don't have to be formal. I'm not sure. always ask for your data in a CSV or Excel file. They'll probably try and send you like